Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode, I'm going to go through all the trades from deadline day, and we'll get back to kind of more normal recaps and previews in tomorrow's episode, but I want to get through all the action from deadline day, see what kind of value there might be to be had there, and at least have some updated ideas about teams and rosters and so on. So, you know what? Because the probably biggest move of the day came at the end, we're going to start there with the Detroit Red Wings getting left winger Jakub Vrána, right winger Richard Panik, first round pick, and a 2022 second round pick from the Washington Capitals in exchange for Anthony Mantha. So in the past three seasons, there are 205 forwards that have played at least 2,005-on-5 minutes. And from that group, Jakub Vrána ranks fifth in goals per 60 minutes with 1.36. And the guys he's behind are Austin Matthews, Alex Ovechkin, Brendan Gallagher, and David Pastrnak. That's pretty great company for him to be in. And so he does not get a huge role on the power play in Washington. So most of the damage that Vrána has been able to deliver has been at even strength. And he got off to a good start this season, Vrána. He had 18 points, 10 goals, 8 assists, 56 shots on goal in the first 24 games. Since then, he has 7 points and 1 goal, 6 assists, with just 12 shots on goal in 15 games. Now, the declining shot rate, that's an issue. But it's also a pretty rather small sample, given that scoring rate over the past few years. And so it feels like Washington's kind of trading Vrána at a low point while he's slumping. Maybe that's why Detroit's looking at the buy low, sell high principle here. Anyway, Vrána has a $3.35 million cap hit. His production could get a boost. Now, Panik is a 30-year-old who's a pretty reliable checking winger and at times has been a solid offensive contributor too. Now, not so much this season. He has 9 points in 39 games, but he's had three seasons with at least 14 goals and more than 30 points, and that plays in the middle six on a lot of teams. So Panik has two more seasons, $2.75 million cap hit left on his contract, and if he finds a spot as a third-line winger in Detroit, which he could certainly do that, that $2.75 million cap hit isn't prohibitive at all. Now, the draft picks, and this is where the Red Wings really make out well, is that a later first-round pick, and that's where Washington's pick looks like it's going to be, still has a chance, maybe 60% chance of becoming an NHL player, and so there's definitely value in that for a rebuilding team like Detroit. The late second-round pick, which comes in 2022, has about a 1-in-3 chance becoming an NHL player. And so that's legitimate assets for a Detroit team that needs to keep getting talent out of the draft. And what are the Washington Capitals getting here? They're getting Mantha, a 26-year-old winger who has two 48-point seasons in his career, scoring 24 and 25 goals respectively in those 2 years. And 27 of his 95 career goals have come on the power play. So he gets a little bit more of an opportunity with the man advantage than Vrána did in Washington. But Mantha is still an offensive driver of results at even strength too. You don't have to diminish what Mantha is capable of or what Vrána is capable of in order to like what's going the other way. And so, yes, you can look at Detroit and be happy with what they're getting with Jakub Vrána and think about what he might be able to accomplish with more ice time and a power play role. And at the same time, if you're Washington, you can look at what Anthony Mantha might do with higher quality line mates, and maybe he doesn't get as much power play time, but either side can be quite reasonably happy with the type of player that they're getting. And so I think the ultimate verdict here is not so much that, one side should be really happy with Mantha or one side should be happy with Vrána. I think, those two players both have their strengths and weaknesses but overall are pretty valuable players. The difference here is that Detroit, not only do they get Richard Panik, a guy who can play in their top nine right now, and he gets a first and second round pick on top of it. And, if Panik, just doesn't play at all for Detroit, they would still be pretty happy, I think, getting the first and second round picks. But the fact that I think Panik can play on this Red Wings team that is not exactly overrun with depth of quality forwards, I think that's what makes this deal kind of all the more impressive for Detroit. So now let's continue through the rest of the deals, none of which are going to be as impressive or valuable as the Jakob Vrana and Anthony Mantha trades. So the Vancouver Canucks add Madison Bowie and a fifth-round pick from Chicago for a fourth-round pick. And, you know, Bowie's 25-year-old. He's played 156 games for Washington, Detroit, and Chicago. He played a couple games for Chicago this season. And he really hasn't shown anything in those games to suggest he's deserving of a regular spot. Could he be a 7th or 8th defenseman? Maybe. But that's sort of probably the ceiling that we're looking at right now. And what does Chicago get? They get a little upgrade in draft pick. You know, a 4th-round pick might have a 1 in 5 chance of becoming an NHL player. A 5th-round pick is closer to a 1 in 7 chance. Well, is that tiny little upgrade may not amount to much in the grand scheme. The most likely outcome is that neither pick is going to reach the National Hockey League. But if you're Chicago, you didn't really have any plans for Madison Bowie this year anyway, might as well take that slight upgrade and move forward. Now, another deal involving the Canucks is they traded veteran defenseman Jordy Benn to the Winnipeg Jets, and they got a 6th-round pick in return. Benn, the 33-year-old stay-at-home type, who's had some pretty solid seasons in a defensive role his past couple years, a little bit rough, and he probably should be a third-pair defenseman. But the unfortunate part of this is the Jets really needed a top-four type defenseman to come in, so adding Benn doesn't really address what they need. They have third-pair defensemen, and so... You know, Ben's making $2 million this season, will be an unrestricted free agent in the offseason. I don't think that any of that is particularly complicating the issue. But from the Jets' perspective, it's kind of underwhelming. Maybe there weren't, a lot of great top four defensemen available. I know, back when a month ago when you thought Matthias Ekholm was going to be dealt, that Winnipeg might be interested in a player of that caliber. And then when he wasn't, well, then suddenly, you end up shopping kind of in the bargain bin on defense, and you end up with Jordy Benn. Now, from Vancouver's perspective, they can try some of their prospects down the stretch, and whether that's Madison Bowie, who they acquired, or whether it's Ollie Ulevi or Jalen Chatfield, you can give those guys some opportunity to play. And this is all, of course, assuming that the Canucks end up back on the ice and playing games. The Toronto Maple Leafs, who've been busy around the deadline, made a deal with San Jose Sharks. They traded winger Alexander Barabanov to San Jose, with Toronto getting center Antti Suomela. Now, Barabanov's 26-year-old rookie in the NHL. He's played 13 games for the Maple Leafs this year. And in that time, he looks like he's a capable defensive player. I don't know that he'll be able to provide offense in the National Hockey League. At least we haven't seen it in his first 13 games. And that's a small sample and so on. But based on what we've seen, I can't go expecting big things for Barabanov down in San Jose. Now, Suomela he's played parts of 3 seasons for the Sharks, and he has 15 points in 51 games. He's not a big scorer, but he does play a really sound defensive game. And, as a fourth line center, he's been reasonably successful in that role. I'm sort of not sure why he didn't get more of an opportunity with San Jose. Now, for the Maple Leafs, he's probably just organizational depth. They don't need him to step in and be their fourth line center. But if there comes a time, if there are injuries or if they need a fourth line checking center, they could easily plug him into the lineup, and it would probably be a pretty low risk option. And maybe there's something to the cash involved. Like, Barabanov makes more on his NHL deal than Suomela, but then Suomela makes more in the American Hockey League, and maybe that's going to make a difference in terms of value to these teams. But to me, I've thought that Suomela could use a better shot in the National Hockey League. Now, I'm not sure he even gets it in Toronto either, but his results in San Jose would indicate that it's worth giving him a bit of a run, even if it's as a fourth-line center. Nashville is the latest stop for Eric Gudbranson. The Predators picking up the 29-year-old, 6'5", right-shot defenseman, plays a physical game, was a high first-round pick, so, of course, there's a team willing to give him a shot. In this case, Nashville's probably looking for depth, and Dante Fabro's out right now, so maybe they could use Gudbranson a little bit more. But I think in an ideal world with the team healthy, he's a third pair or even a seventh defenseman. And if that's the case, that's probably just fine. This also happens to be Goodbranson's fifth team in his past three seasons. What do the Senators get in return? A seventh round pick in 2023. This is practically giving Goodbranson away, for a pick down the road and a seventh rounder. But for Ottawa, you may as well use the opportunity to give other players a chance to play down the stretch. And on their right side right now, it looks like they have Nikita Zaitsev, Artem Zub, and Josh Brown. That's fine. If they want to go for more prospects to play some minutes down the stretch, then they could try that too. And here's the thing, is Goodbranson, by all accounts, is a great teammate. And people who have played with him, will vouch for this guy as a great stand-up guy. And that's one aspect to building a team. It just so happens that you also need a guy who can play on the ice, and Goodbranson probably needs a more limited role. And in Nashville, maybe that's what he will be asked to do. And if that's the case, if he's playing third pair and killing penalties, maybe he's a decent fit. And this is a relatively low cost for the Predators to find out. Another deal for Toronto, they traded to get defenseman Ben Hutton from the Anaheim Ducks, sending a 2022 fifth-round pick to Anaheim. Now, Hutton, 27-year-old defenseman who's a good skater, and he can move the puck. Now, he also had a fairly terrible defensive season in 2018-2019 when he was played in a top-four role with Vancouver. But otherwise, play him in a third pair or a depth role, Hutton's been mostly fine. And he's inexpensive, makes $950,000 a season. And at the moment, it looks like he'll be the seventh defenseman on the Maple Leafs. That is a totally reasonable situation. A pick that is going to be a late fifth-round pick going to Anaheim has about a 13% chance of becoming an NHL player. There's not a lot of value there. But the Ducks have shuffled their defense a little bit already. And if they weren't going to re-sign Hutton, and would make sense for them to kind of keep looking to get younger on the blue line, getting something in return makes sense. And from Toronto's perspective, Hutton's a low-risk addition. I mean, he's looking at being your seventh defenseman, and he can skate, which, for what the Maple Leafs like to do, you probably want a guy that if you're inserting him into the lineup, he isn't all of a sudden plotting and slowing things down. And that's, Hutton, for whatever flaws he may have, he can pick him up and lay him down. The one thing here is that the Maple Leafs are giving up a lot of draft picks over the next few years. So they're in it to win it this year. The Montreal Canadiens make a deal on defense, and they add Erik Gustafsson, a 29-year-old puck-moving defenseman whose season in Philadelphia was considered a complete disaster. And while your eye test may tell you that, the Flyers outshot and outscored opponents when Gustafsson was on the ice. He had 10 points, a goal, and 9 assists in 24 games. It's fine that if it didn't work out, he's a pending free agent who's making $1.5 million. And he can play either side. Now, if you ask people in Philadelphia, they'll tell you he plays, both sides equally poor. But in Montreal, if he's going to be a seventh defenseman, that's not a bad option because, at the very least, Gustafsson is a guy who can handle the puck and quarterback a power play. Now, what do the Flyers get? They get a seventh round pick in 2022. And as we talked about, a seventh round pick, there's not a ton of value there. But it's maybe a 1 in 10 chance of becoming an NHL player. And I think from Montreal's perspective, you can say that Gustafsson has enough positives in his track record. If you go back to his time in Chicago, where he was running their power play at one point, and you don't have to write him off entirely because 24 games with the Flyers weren't so great. As a depth pickup, this is probably, Montreal should feel pretty good about it, I think, given the minimal cost. Now the Calgary Flames trade Sam Bennett, oft-rumored and the player who had asked to be traded earlier in the season, finally gets his wish, traded to the Florida Panthers. Now, since Daryl Sutter had taken over, there was talk that Bennett, might want to hang around because Daryl Sutter might be more of a Sam Bennett type coach who would appreciate Bennett's grit, but. In any case, Bennett's 24-year-old. His career's kind of gone sideways. He was the fourth overall pick in 2014. Scored 36 points as a rookie in the 2015-2016 season, and he hasn't even approached that total since. Now, he does have 5 points in his last four games with Calgary, but that means he has 12 points in 38 games this season. And the thing is, you see some highlights every once in a while from Bennett. You're like, there is some talent there. He certainly has some toughness. And you would think that there should be a regular spot for a player like that in the National Hockey League. And it's not that he's bouncing out of the league just yet, but he hasn't lived up to expectations. There's no two ways around it. So whether he's talented or tough or whatever, the results aren't there. And you know, the thing is, Bennett's defensive metrics don't look that bad. But at the same time, in the course of his career in Calgary, the Flames were outscored by 62 goals at even strength with Sam Bennett on the ice. Now, a lot of that could be who he plays with at the lower half of the depth chart. But you can understand why neither Bennett nor the Flames were really happy with how that turned out. On top of all that, Bennett's making $2.55 million on the salary cap, and he'll be a restricted free agent at the end of the season. I'm not sure that you're picking up Sam Bennett's qualifying offer at that price, but we'll kind of see where that goes. But at the very least, if you're Florida, you can give him an audition here and find out whether you think Sam Bennett can be a legit top nine for you. Now, what do the Flames get? They get center Emil Heinemann in a 2022 second-round pick. Heinemann's a 19-year-old who was also, he was a second-round pick in 2020. He had 13 points in 43 Swedish league games this season. He's probably a few years away from realistically challenging for a spot in the National Hockey League, but a worthwhile get here for the Flames. If you know that the future with Sam Bennett is running out, may as well look to another prospect who a few years down the road could have a legitimate chance. This deal is probably worthwhile for the Panthers to give Bennett a shot and see if he can contribute, particularly in this year's playoffs, because the one thing is that Bennett's game, the gritty, hard-hitting, aggressive type game, should play in the playoffs. And then if you're Calgary and you're not going to the playoffs this year, may as well start remodeling this roster and get some younger talent into the organization. Rock Auto is an online parts source where you can get just about anything for any kind of vehicle. And rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com. You shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. Same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How'd You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, continuing with deadline day trades. And we've got the Colorado Avalanche bringing back Carl Soderberg in a trade with Chicago. Soderberg, 35-year-old who's a veteran who scored at least 35 points six times in his career. He's a useful depth forward at this point, can chip in a little offensively, play center or wing. And thing is, his defensive play has slipped in recent seasons, but on an Avalanche team with designs on a Stanley Cup in a depth role, you can see that Soderberg could fit there. He has an expiring contract, making $1 million on the salary cap, not a difficult player to move. And Chicago is getting Ryder Rolston and Josh Dickinson. Now, Rolston, the 19-year-old son of former NHLer Brian Rolston. He was a fifth-round pick of the Avalanche in 2020. As a freshman at the University of Notre Dame, had 6 points in 28 games. That's not exactly on path to the NHL. Ryder Rolston may be a long-term project, probably a hope and a prayer. You have to hope that his next season in college hockey is dramatically better. Now for Dickinson, he's the 23-year-old brother of Dallas Stars forward Jason Dickinson. The younger Dickinson has spent his pro career splitting time between the ECHL and the American Hockey League, with more time in the ECHL. Also, doesn't look like he's going to be making to the NHL either. Now, the Avalanche didn't give up much, and you know, you could consider prospects to be lottery tickets, but I think prospects of Rolston and Dickinson are like lottery tickets where the grand prize might be like $10. There's not a big payoff to be had at the end of that trade. A couple more deals. We got Washington Capitals get a veteran winger, Michael Roffel from the Philadelphia Flyers. Roffel's a 32-year-old. He's a steady fourth line winger. Doesn't hurt a team defensively. He also doesn't do much offensively anymore, though in his first few years in the league he did. In any case, Roffel is an easy addition to the Capitals roster. He can play either wing. He's a no-frills, legitimate NHL forward. He has a $1.6 million cap hit. The Flyers are going to retain $400,000. And what do the Flyers get in return for this? A fifth-round pick. You know, that's worth about maybe 15% chance of becoming an NHL player. It's a nice depth move for the Capitals, a team who obviously has designs on going on a long playoff run, and they want legitimate NHL depth, and Roffel can fulfill that, but they appropriately didn't pay too much in order to get a player of his caliber. And then we've got the Carolina Hurricanes and the Anaheim Ducks dealing defensemen. Anaheim acquires defenseman Hayden Fleury, a 24-year-old who's probably been okay in a third-pair role when he's had the chance to play for Carolina, but has 24 points in 167 games over the past four seasons with the Hurricanes, and still averaging less than 15 minutes of ice time per game. Really, whether Fleury breaks through in the NHL or not, he's unlikely to live up to his draft slot, which was seventh overall in 2014. Going to Anaheim should present Fleury with an opportunity to play and prove whether or not he's a bona fide NHL defenseman. Signed through next season with a $1.3 million cap hit, and conceivably, he could get protected in the expansion draft. If the Ducks decide that Cam Fowler's long-term deal would not be appealing to Seattle and they left him exposed, you know, they could keep Hampus Lindholm, Josh Manson, and then maybe Fleury as another body to keep on their blue line. But we'll see how the Ducks decide to manage that. But at the very least, they'll get a look at Hayden Fleury. And what do the Hurricanes get? Yanni Hakanpaa and a 2022 sixth-round pick. Hakanpaa is 28 years old, but he's an NHL rookie and has been quite steady as a defensive defenseman. He's pretty much a black hole offensively. He contributes nothing at that end of the ice, but he's a right-shot defenseman, and while Fleury is a left-shot defenseman, can play both sides, Hakanpaa is a natural fit on the right side and, you know, could just slide in on the third pair in Carolina. And, you know, if you're Carolina and you think that you might lose Fleury in the expansion draft and that Hakanpaa in a pick is better than losing him for nothing, especially if you feel that Hakanpaa provides immediate value defensively on that third pair, maybe that makes a little bit of sense. And the sixth-round pick, you know, has maybe a 1 in 7 chance of becoming an NHL player. So not huge value there in addition, but gives the Hurricanes a little bit of something. Now, the Vegas Golden Knights, they get a little creative here to acquire Matthias Janmark from Chicago. They also get defenseman Nick DeSimone from San Jose and a fifth-round pick. The San Jose Sharks get a fifth-round pick in 2022 for their contributions here. They're doing a little bit of laundering. And the Chicago Blackhawks get a second-round pick and a third-round pick, third-round pick in 2022. So what are the Golden Knights getting here? They're getting Janmark, who's a 28-year-old, who's never been more dangerous than he was as a rookie in 2015-2016. Not only is he a sound defensive winger, but he was an offensive threat then too. Then had a strange and serious knee injury that cost him the entire 2016-2017 season, and really Janmark hasn't been the same player since. What he has been is a reliable checking winger. He's had some finishing luck this season. He has 10 goals in 41 games, but overall, offense has not been a big part of Janmark's contribution. Can he fit into a third-line role with Vegas? Probably. He comes in at a pretty reasonable cost, having this contract laundered through San Jose. The cap hit is now $562,500. That's pretty easy for a team who's kind of up against the cap like Vegas to make that work. Now, Dee Simone is a 26-year-old AHL defenseman, and maybe that's all he's going to be, an AHL salary that can offset some of the cost for the Sharks. But there's, you know, given Peter DeBoer's history with the Sharks organization, maybe there's a chance that he would have some interest in Dee Simone for a depth role on their blue line. I would still think it's a salary issue more than anything, but the fact that that's the player that San Jose is getting, or that San Jose is giving up, that Vegas is getting, maybe that's something to consider. Now, the fifth round pick offers about a 15% chance of becoming an NHL player. So where Chicago is getting a second and a third round pick. And Chicago has already traded to acquire Vinny Hinostroza. They acquired Adam Gaudette. I'll get to that one later. And so they could kind of afford to move Janmark. And getting a second and third round pick for a player of Janmark's, you know, contributions, who's A, replaceable, but B, on an expiring contract, it's kind of a nice bit of business here from Chicago. A pick late in the second round, where Vegas is sitting, has about a 1 in 3 chance of turning into an NHL player, maybe closer to 1 in 4 for a third round pick. And if either one of those players ends up, you know, getting to the National Hockey League, that's a pretty great return for, you know, a month's worth of Matthias Janmark. And then from San Jose's perspective, they get a fifth round pick just to facilitate the trade. You know, again, fifth round picks have about a 15% chance of reaching the National Hockey League. And so overall, this seems like a bit of a steep price for the Golden Knights to pay, you know, a second and third round pick, given, I guess, the limitations to Janmark's game. But if you're Vegas and you feel like you're a contender and you want to, you know, address a weak spot, left wing on their third line is a spot that, you know, could use some improvement. And so, yeah, I can understand it, but it does seem like Chicago came out of that deal ahead. Tampa Bay Lightning bolster their blue line by trading for Frederik Claesson from San Jose. And Claesson's a 28-year-old left shot defenseman. Been mostly a spare part type in his NHL career. He's played 9 NHL games in the past 2 seasons. Has played more than 40 games in a season once in his career, and back in his days with Ottawa. And in his role, he's adequate defensively, little impact offensively, and the type of player who can fill in, as in Tampa's case, probably in the 8th or 9th spot on their depth chart. But if you're heading into the playoffs expecting to have a deep playoff run, it doesn't hurt you to add one more guy who's played minutes in the National Hockey League for that, you know, defensive depth that you might need at some point. What do the Sharks get out of this? They get goaltender Magnus Crona, a 20-year-old who just finished his sophomore season at the University of Denver. He had better results during his freshman year. If he's going to be a prospect at all, it's going to take time for him to develop. And so I don't think this deal is a big win in either direction. I'm a little more familiar with Claesson, given at least he played in the National Hockey League for a while. So I suppose I'll side with the Lightning on this deal, but, you know, come back in 2 or 3 years and we'll see where Magnus Crona, where his game is as he's, you know, developing in NCAA hockey. Now, as I had mentioned, the Chicago Blackhawks did trade to get Adam Gaudette from the Vancouver Canucks. Gaudette is a 24-year-old forward. He's kind of taken a step back this season, or maybe actually taken a step back this season. He broke through last season. He had 33 points in 59 games, and 12 of those points were on the power play. But his 5-on-5 scoring in the 2019-2020 season, he had 1.84 points per 60. That's the same as Anders Lee, Andre Palat. It's more than Braden Schenn, Clayton Keller, John Tavares, and Logan Couture. So, you know, that doesn't mean Gaudette is better than any of those players, but it might mean that it's worth finding a regular role in the top 9 to find out if he can continue scoring at a decent rate. And he certainly hasn't this season. So Gaudette's making $950,000 this season. He'll be a restricted free agent in the offseason. Should be easy to get him to a new deal. And, you know, there's maybe some potential there, but it's sort of been, it's been latent. It's been kept under wraps for the most part. Now, what are the Canucks getting? They're getting left winger Matthew Highmore. He's a 25-year-old winger with good speed. He also has 10 points in 75 career NHL games over the past 3 seasons. And, you know, maybe Highmore fits into a fourth-line role, but it also doesn't look like he has upside higher than that. you know, in Vancouver, he's going to compete for playing time with a bunch of wingers who are in sort of the fourth line mix. And Highmore is making $725,000 on a two-way deal this year. Next year, it converts to a one-way deal. And so maybe that gives him a better shot at sticking in Vancouver. But it does seem like Highmore doesn't have huge upside. And so if Gaudette could turn out to be anything more than a fourth liner, if he could find a way into a top nine role and produce a little bit, it would seem that Chicago gets the edge on this deal as well. The Edmonton Oilers add some defensive depth, getting Dmitry Kulikov from the New Jersey Devils for a conditional fourth-round pick. Now, Kulikov has settled into a decent defensive role in the past couple of seasons and been reasonably effective in that spot. And so you can add him on the Edmonton blue line, and he comes at a pretty easy-to-move cost. His cap hit's $1.15 million. At this stage of his career, he's an unrestricted free agent in the summer. And honestly, if Kulikov, you know, plays all right for the Oilers down the stretch and in the playoffs, he'll probably still draw free agent interest again in the offseason. The Devils, you know, pick up a pick that's probably in the middle part of the fourth round. There's maybe a 1 in 5 chance of that becoming an NHL player. But from the Devils' perspective, you know, you got to open up some room to get younger defensemen into your mix. And you may as well, you know, they acquired Jonas Siegenthaler from Washington. Well, there's ice time there if you move out Kulikov. Will Butcher has, you know, been underutilized, I would say, in New Jersey this year. Maybe there's ice time for him down the stretch on the Devils' blue line. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football and college basketball are over, but the NBA and NHL are in full swing, and Major League Baseball is here now. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. I'm going to give you tips, insights, and analysis for season-long and dynasty leagues and DFS. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, so let's continue, finish up the deadline deals. And what we've got is we've gone through all the trades of deadline day, and you can understandably be underwhelmed by most of them. There were a couple of waiver claims. The Dallas Stars grabbing Sammy Vatanen, who, you know, 29-year-old whose game has kind of stagnated in New Jersey in the past couple of seasons. And his role has been kind of dramatically reduced this season. He's played more than 21 minutes per game for six straight seasons. Now this season, it's down to 17 minutes per game. So that's kind of a big drop. Now the Stars can take Vatanen and slide him onto their third pairing pretty easily and could contribute on a second power play unit if need be. It hasn't been a big part of his game this season, but he has 200 career points. 86 of them have come with the man advantage. Vatanen's making $2 million this season, will be an unrestricted free agent in the summer. The Senators pick up Victor Mete on waivers from Montreal. And Mete was a 22-year-old who, you know, he's quite likely an NHL-caliber defenseman, but has just been stuck as an extra on Montreal's depth chart this season. And in four seasons in the National Hockey League, the Canes have outscored opponents by 30 goals at even strength with Mete on the ice. Now, some of that may be due to who he's been playing with. He spent time playing with Shea Weber, and that certainly would contribute to it. But those are positive indicators. And at least in Ottawa, Mete should have a great opportunity to play. You know, the Senators have traded Mike Riley to Boston, and Mete could, you know, very easily slot into those minutes for the rest of the season. Which would be funny that Riley has, who, you know, left Montreal, went to Ottawa, and basically rehabilitated his career. Mete, as a younger but a somewhat similar player, could follow kind of the same path, where he goes to Ottawa, gets significant minutes, and maybe kind of gets back on the right career path that, you know, he had been on in his first couple of years, but then kind of got stuck in Montreal this season. And now Mete, I mean, he makes $735,000 in entry-level deal. He'll be a restricted free agent in the summer. It should be an easy contract to get signed because he doesn't have a whole lot of bargaining power based on what he's done this season. And, you know, for their part, Montreal, they've already acquired John Merrill and Erik Gustafsson. It's not like they're, you know, going to miss Mete immediately, but it does, you know, this is not the best asset management. And I can understand that, you know, there's an issue here with the expansion draft, and there are a lot of teams who aren't going to be able to protect Victor Mete. And so maybe you can't get a lot of value in return. But I think if you're Montreal, you should have been shopping Mete around and finding, you know, teams where it was really unlikely, you know, that Mete would be the one who gets chosen. And, you know, or you put him out there as an option for a team who maybe has, you know, too many good defensemen. Well, now you're giving them an extra choice where Seattle either takes, you know, the more proven option, or they take Mete, and that kind of insurance could help another squad. And so the fact that the Ottawa Senators are the one to do this, well, the Sens, you know, they can afford to protect Mete if need be. But it's going to be an interesting time, I think, for Victor Mete in Ottawa, because he, you know, it's been a frustrating season for him in Montreal, and, you know, he's probably better than the opportunity he got this year. So anyway, that will do it for today. We've wrapped up the NHL trade deadline. We'll get back to, you know, I guess more typical episodes tomorrow, but wanted to get through all those deals and kind of talk out who's going where, and, you know, what that's going to mean for those teams. And as you can see, there aren't a whole lot of impact moves, and I think that's not a terrible surprise given you know, the expectations, the limitations on you know, a flat cap, and teams that, you know, no teams in the mid range were really making moves to improve, because, you know, you're not looking at a full arena for the playoffs this year. It certainly doesn't look that way. So anyway, enjoy the games. Check out my work on The Athletic and at McKean's Hockey, as well as scottcullenhockey.substack.com. And check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. I've got lots of analysis going there too. Find these podcasts, subscribe, maybe drop in a 5-star rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.
We're talking about the greatest sport in the world.